annam choru rasam tebhyo tatva bhagavad arpanam go vipra artha asavaha shura pranemur puvi murdhabhi annam choru rasam tebhyo tatva bhagavad arpanam go viprartha sava shura pranemur bhuvi murdhabhi annam foodstuff cha also ururasam highly delicious tebhyaha unto the brahmanas dattva after supplying bhagavad arpanam which was first offered to the personality of Godhead. Go, cows. Vipra, brahmanas. Artha, purpose. Asavaha, purpose of living. Shuraha, all the valiant kshatriyas. Pranemuhu, offered obeisances. Bhuvi, touching the ground. Murtabhi, with their heads. Thereafter, they offered the brahmanas highly delicious foodstuffs, first offered to the personality of Godhead, and offered their respectful obeisances by touching their heads to the ground. They lived perfectly by protecting the cows and the brahmanas. Purport. The behavior exhibited by the descendants of Yadu in the pilgrimage site of Papas was highly cultured and exactly to the point of human perfection. The perfection of human life is attained by following three principles of civilization: protecting the cows, maintaining the Brahminical culture, and, above all, becoming a pure devotee of the Lord. Without becoming a devotee of the Lord, one cannot perfect one's human life. The perfection of human life is to be elevated to the spiritual world, where there is no birth, no death, no disease, and no old age. That is the highest perfectional aim of human life. Without this aim, any amount of material advancement in so-called comforts can only bring the defeat of the human form of life. Annam choru rasam tebhyo dattva bhagavad arpanam go viprartasava shura pranemur bhuvi murtabhi. The descendants of the Yadu dynasty observed these three principles: to respect the Lord, respect the Brahmins, and respect the cows. The Lord is the focal point of everything, but the Brahmins and the cows are in relationship to the Lord. They're very dear to the Lord. Go Brahmana Hitayaja. The Lord is very favorably inclined to the cows. He took the form of Gopal, a cowherd boy. So he's affectionate to the cows. Or he set the example for human society that obtaining the necessities for human civilization depends upon Gauraksha, protection of the cows. Krishi Gauraksha Vanijnam, Vaishakarma Sambhavajam. This is the primary occupational duty of the mercantile class, Krishi and Gauraksha. Krishi means agriculture, because everything depends on eating, first of all. If you can't eat, stop there, everything is finished. So we need to eat. Krishi, the eatables can't be manufactured in a factory. We're dependent on the land. And the cows are eating grass. And by Krishna's arrangement, they're providing milk. So a civilized human civilization has to protect the cows and receive from the cows milk for developing good intelligence and good everything. So, Krishi, Gauraksha, and Vanijam, and some trade. These are the right duties, occupationally speaking, for the Brahmins. Can that door be closed, please? Hey, Pujari. Transcendental sound vibration. So the cows are the most important animals for human society. And among human beings, the Brahmin is supposed to be the most important because he's giving the vision for society. In the body, all the parts are required, but the head is especially important because the head gives the direction, what to do, how to understand everything. Well, the Brahmins, the intelligent class of men, are meant to give spiritual understanding so that the society will go in the right direction. If the direction is determined by the less intelligent men, then everything will be messed up. The intelligent men have to give the direction. They're the Brahmins. And Brahmins, as Sankarshan Prabhu was explaining yesterday, means qualified Brahmins. Not that the head means, no matter how bad your brain is, you're the head of society. The head has to be working properly. Not that Brahmin means how to extract money from pilgrims and fill one's belly. That's not Brahmin. At best you can say Brahma Bandhu, friend of a Brahmin, but not actually Brahmin. Brahmin means qualified. The Brahmanas, by practice, live with less. Their business is that whatever Krishna sends, we accept. Not more than required. To live very simply is the duty of the Brahmin. And when the Brahmin lives very simply, then to maintain the Brahmin is not very difficult business. And when the Vaishyas take care of the land and the cows, there'll be sufficient prosperity and they'll be able to maintain the Brahmins nicely. Maintain the Brahmins or maintain the sannyasis, the vanaprasthas, the brahmacharis. They'll be able to do everything when they cooperate with the arrangement of the Lord. Devan bhavyatana tanena. What is that in Bhagavad Gita? Te deva pavayantuva parasparam bhavayanta. Shreyam paramavashyata. By cooperation between the Lord, between the human beings and the higher authorities, the Lord or the demigods who are the agents of the Lord, there will be prosperity. And if we think that on our own power we'll do everything, then there will be ruin. We'll simply make a pandemonium and everything will be topsy-turvy. So the Yadavas knew this, so they protected the cows, they honored the Brahmins, and they, most important, worshipped the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the business of the human being is not sense gratification only. Kamasya nendriya priti. Labu jiveta yavat. Jivasya tatva jigyasa. Nartoyascheva ka. He. The business of satisfying the senses is less important. That we can do in the animal life also. The real business of human life is jivasya tattva jigyasa, to inquire about spiritual realization. Narato yas cheta karmavi. Nothing else should be our aim in life. Real aim is how to get free from material entanglement and go back home, back to Godhead. Not how to stay in this material world and be more comfortable by artificial arrangements. That's the misuse of human life. Brahmanas and Vaishnavas do not accept any foodstuff which is not first offered to the personality of Godhead. Foodstuff offered to the Lord is accepted by the devotees as the mercy of the Lord. After all, the Lord supplies all kinds of foodstuff, both to the human being and to other animals. A human being must be conscious of the fact that all foodstuffs, namely grains, vegetables, milk, water, etc., the prime necessities of life, are supplied for mankind by the Lord. And such foodstuffs cannot be manufactured by any scientist or materialist in a laboratory or factory established by human effort. The intelligent class of men are called Brahmanas, and those who have realized the absolute truth in his supreme personal feature are called Vaishnavas. But both of them accept foodstuffs which are the remnants of sacrifice. Sacrifice is ultimately meant to satisfy the Yajna Purusha, Vishnu. In Bhagavad Gita 3.13, it is said that one who accepts foodstuffs as the remnants of sacrifice is freed from all sinful reactions. And one who cooks foodstuffs for maintenance of his body takes in all kinds of sin, which lead only to suffering. The foodstuffs prepared by the Yadus at the Prabhas pilgrimage site to offer to the lotus feet of to offer to the bona fide Brahmanas were all offered to the personality of Godhead, Vishnu. The Yadus offered their sincere obeisances by touching their heads to the ground. The Yadus, or any enlightened family in Vedic culture, are trained for advancement, attainment of human perfection by total cooperation of service between the different divisions of social orders. So this is clear from Bhagavad Gita. Yajna Shishtasena Santa Muchyante Sarvakil Vishaya. Our food is meant to be offered in sacrifice to Vishnu. Yagyartat karmanonyacha loko yam karmabandhu. Everything is meant to be offered to Vishnu. Otherwise, whatever we do will lead to entanglement, karmabandhu. So the food is meant to be offered to Vishnu. And then the human beings are meant to take the remnants of that food. And by accepting those remnants, muchyante sarvakil vishaya. Our entanglement in this material world is due to our accumulation of sinful reactions. The sufferings of all living entities are due to sinful reactions. And muchyante sarvakil vishaya, simply by eating the food which has first been offered to Vishnu, one is freed from all sinful reactions. Prasade sarva dukkhanam hanirasya vijayate. This food is called Krishna Prasadam, and by taking Krishna Prasadam only, one is freed from all sins. Very simple thing. You offer to Vishnu, we bow our heads before the deity of the Lord, offer the food to the Lord, and then take. This is the prescribed Vedic system, to take Krishna Prasadam, or the food offered to the Lord. But there's an alternative. One doesn't have to take food offered to the Lord. One can simply cook food very nicely for sense gratification and eat. Why offer to the Lord? That just makes everything longer. You just cook, make it very tasty and nice so that you'll enjoy, or engage your wife or mother, someone to cook for you, or some McDonald's or anyone, and you eat. Why offer to the Lord? It's a very good proposal. Bunjate te tukam papam ye pachantyatma karam. Then by eating that food, you don't have to get freed from sinful reactions. Instead, you eat sinful reactions in the shape of food. Agham papam. Agham papam means heavy sinful reactions. Bunjate te tukam papam. Those who are eating food, pachanti atmakarana, simply prepared for sense enjoyment, are eating lumps of sin in the shape of food. This is the general practice of human society. Just prepare for ourselves, scarf it down, eat, and take the sinful reactions. When we offer to Krishna, everything is done on Krishna's account. Even the vegetarians are killing. Sometimes they object that you're vegetarians, you're also killing. That's a fact. But we're killing and offering to the Lord. Some killing has to be done. Practically unavoidable. But the Lord says this is authorized killing. You kill some plant and you offer. Or you take fruits, no killing. But even if you take fruits, even especially you take other living beings that have given their lives, now you're responsible. You're responsible. You killed or arranged to kill some living being, or you took the whatever it was for yourself, now you have to pay. Now you have to pay. That payment is called sinful reactions. That payment is called sinful reactions. Of course, if we kill animals, then the sinful reaction is practically beyond describing. But even if we kill plants, we have to pay. Or even if we take without killing, we have to pay. But when we've taken just for ourselves, then agham papam. Serious sinful reactions. So what is intelligent? To cook for myself and take sinful reactions? Or to cook for Krishna and by eating be freed even of previous sinful reactions? So this is our proposal, that everyone should take Krishna prasada. Everyone should take Krishna prasada. The same cooking, but offer to Krishna. Then take. That's called bhakti yoga. Yoga means plus. The same cooking, same eating, plus Krishna consciousness. Plus Krishna consciousness. Yagyartat karmanonya trilokoyam. If you make it minus Krishna, then suffering. And if you make it plus Krishna, then freedom from suffering. Simple formula. The world is trying to get free from suffering by some artificial arrangement, by political methods, by industrial methods, by technological methods. And they're creating more suffering, not less. Previously, people could beat one another over the head with clubs. Now they can destroy whole cities with bombs and missiles and tax everyone to pay for it. Well, this is not advancement of the mission of human life. Advancement is achieved by advancement of Krishna consciousness. So, eating is very important. Tara madhye jivaiti, lobha moha sudurati. For yoga, we have to control the senses. And the most difficult sense to control is the tongue. If the tongue can be controlled, then every other sense can be controlled. This is the method for controlling the tongue. To take food offered to Krishna and chant Hare Krishna. The tongue has two functions, to taste, to vibrate. The tasting function can be controlled by eating food offered to Krishna. And the vibrating function, by chanting the holy name of the Lord or speaking about the Lord. Then the tongue is controlled, and then the other senses can be controlled. So this eating function is crucial. Everyone has to do it. No one can avoid it. But we can do it with Krishna or without Krishna. So we should do it with Krishna. The word uru rasam is also significant here. Hundreds of delicacies can be prepared simply by the combination of grains, vegetables, and milk. All such preparations are in the mode of goodness and therefore may be offered to the personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 9.26, the Lord accepts only foodstuffs which are within the range of fruits, flowers, leaves, and liquids, provided they are offered in complete devotional service. Devotional service is the only criterion for a bona fide offering to the Lord. The Lord assures that he positively eats such foodstuffs offered by the devotees. So judging from all sides, the Yadus were perfectly trained, civilized persons. And their being cursed by the Brahmin sages was only by the desire of the Lord. The whole incident was a warning to all concerned that no one should behave lightly with Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Lord's Pastimes at Vrindavan. In this section, we find that the Yadus offend pure devotees of the Lord, offend great sages, and therefore they're cursed. So Srila Prabhupada points out here that this was possible only by the will of the Lord. The Lord wanted to wind up his pastimes in the material world. And so many demigods had joined the Lord, coming from the heavenly planets to participate in his pastimes in the role of his family members. So now when the Lord is going to leave, these associates have to go back to their posts. So the Lord made some arrangement that all of these Yadavas would be cursed and they would kill one another. And in that way, just as in a drama, the Shakespeare or whoever the dramatist is, he has to arrange that by the end of the play, all the characters are dispersed. So either they get married, they get killed, something happens with everybody, and then the play can end. So similarly, the Lord's play, his lila, his pastimes, are about to come to an end, and so the Lord wants to dispatch the different players. So who will dispatch the Yadus? They're so powerful that no one can defeat them. So the Lord arranged that among one another they would fight, and they would all die. And how would it come? It would happen because of an offense to the Brahmins. So the Lord accomplished many things at once. He dispatched these family members, and he gave very crucial instructions for human society that no one should deal lightly with the Brahmanas or the Vaishnavas. When the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, of course, Brahmins again means bona fide Brahmins, not these two-pai sacred thread Brahmins, simply cheaters, showing the deity and making some money, that make a good business, that you show the deity and people will give money and you take the money and enjoy sense gratification. That's not Brahmin. Brahmin means Brahmajana Titi Brahman. The actual business of the Brahmins is that when people come to the temple or people come to the holy place, the Brahmins should be able to give them transcendental knowledge. That's the duty of the Brahmin. Brahman is not simply a collector of money. He's not like a doorkeeper for the temple. What to speak of a mosquito in the temple simply to sting the pilgrims? That's not actually Brahman. Actual Brahman means he has to give transcendental knowledge. And that means he has to have transcendental knowledge. He has to be trained. Samskarad bhavetvija. Under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, he has to learn the absolute truth and to reach the next higher stage to become Vaishnav. He has to learn how to engage in the service of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. So then he becomes the real leader of human society. Otherwise, simply to say, I'm Brahman, I'm Vaishnav. Someone's very proud of being Brahman, born in a Brahman family. That means he's a Shudra. The Shudras, especially the cobblers, are engaged in skinning some dead animal and making shoes. So they're skin dealers. So someone who's claiming, I'm Brahman because I'm born in a Brahman family, that means he's claiming this qualification by the skin only. That means he's a skin dealer. That means he's on the level of a cobbler. That means he's a Shudra. He's claiming Brahman, but he's Shudra. So qualified Brahman. One has to be qualified. Then he can give the right direction for human society. All right, are there some questions?
Tell us something about last line, which is Pranemur Bhuvi Murdhabhi.
Pranemur Bhuvi Murdhabhi. This is Vedic culture also, that one has to offer obeisances to the Lord and the devotees. In the Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakta Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru. Namaskuru. Especially before the Lord, the system is not simply that we fold our hands, but actually one should offer obeisances, touching one's head to the ground, or whole body, dandavat pranams, to the ground. When seeing the spiritual master, not simply like this, Prabhupada said chopping. Not simply chopping, but actually one should offer obeisances. Dandavat means like a rod on the ground, or at least touching one's head to the ground. This is the system of showing extreme respect. Little superficial respect we show to everyone. Namaskar. Namaskar ji. But for the Lord is not like an ordinary jogger on Juhu Beach. Namaskar ji. The Lord is the personality of Godhead. And we're the eternal servants of the personality of Godhead. So one should offer one's obeisances to the Lord, touching one's head to the ground or touching one's whole body to the ground. Then we make spiritual progress. That means humble also. Why should I touch my head to the ground? Why should I touch my head to the ground? The ground is dirty, the ground is low. And I'm born in a high family, I've got a high qualification, I'm a doctor or lawyer or engineer, this, that. And on the ground I should touch my head? Yes. Ahamkara vimudhatma. So that we don't become fools thinking, I'm so great, I've got this, that. That actually everyone in front of Krishna is just a menial servant. Jivar Sharupoi Krishna. Everyone is a menial servant of Krishna. How great Krishna is, and how small we are. So spiritual realization begins with amanitva. Amanitva adambhitva himsa kshantir arjavam acharjo pasan shocha kshantir stairyam atmanavigraha. like that. These are the principles of knowledge, or these are the principles of advanced spiritual civilization. Amanitva, to be humble, not to be puffed up. That I may be whatever I am, big, big man, so much money, but it's all superficial. These things are only provided temporarily by the material energy. And actually, I'm a criminal, and that's why I'm in the material world. Maybe a criminal with some privileges, that's all right, but criminal. So before the supreme authority, I have to surrender. My incarceration in this material world is because I've refused to surrender. So now I should surrender to the Lord, or the representative of the Lord. That will be good for me. Some other question?
Why do Amarama represents to Vishnu deity that Krishna and Narayana on the left side and the demigods?
And why do we offer obeisances to demigods on the right side and Vishnu on the left side? I don't know. Many people are asking, because why do you drive on the right side?
You mentioned that.
And why do you drive on the right side or drive on the left side? It's the law, that's all.
You mentioned that the Brahmanas be qualified for the four shores. The deity will also give the knowledge of the Lord. He's a qualified one. You also mentioned that the Brahmanas one who can perform activities and then qualify the Vaishnava.
Brahman may not be a Vaishnava. Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmin. Just like a PhD, he's automatically a graduate. But a graduate may not be a PhD. So Vaishnava is higher position than Brahmin. Brahmin at least should know what is the absolute truth. And Vaishnava is one who knows the absolute truth in three features. Prameti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Shabdute. He finally knows the personality of Godhead. Is that all right?
On this mindset, why we offer our obeisances from the left side to the deities? Means many times people ask this question and I don't get an answer. I simply want to confirm that answer.
I can't confirm it or deny it because I don't know. So you have to ask someone who knows. Gyaninas tattva darshana, one who knows the truth can help you. I don't know the answer, so I can't confirm or deny what you've heard. But if you don't know, then don't give the answer also. You've heard something, now you're repeating it, but if you don't know whether it's legitimate or not, then first find out if it's legitimate, then repeat it. Otherwise, a good answer for anyone who doesn't know is, I don't know. If we don't know, no need to bluff. I don't know. Niyam, that's all, it's the rule. Why do we drive on the right? Why do we drive on the left? Maybe there's some reason, but because it's the right or it's the left, and this is the law.
Maharaj, we are already doing this. If we without knowing why we do, we are offering obeisances.
Yeah, all right.
How do you do without knowing?
Without knowing why we're offering obeisances, you know or not know, it will be good.
My point is, we are doing.
So?
We are chanting Hare Krishna. Somebody asks, why are you chanting Hare Krishna?
No. Because our authorities have told us to chant Hare Krishna. I may know or not know, just like someone's running a train. And he's the assistant, and the chief person has said, you push this button, and then you turn this wheel, and then he does it. Then someone says, well, why are you pushing this button? Why are you turning this wheel? He may not know. But if the authority knows, the authority has told him, He's pushing, he's turning, that's all right. The doctor has told you, you take 3 pills 3 times a day. And someone says to you, what do you do? I'm taking these 3 pills 3 times a day. Why 3 pills? Why not 6 pills? Why not twice a day? I don't know. Oh, you don't even know what you're doing? He knows what he's doing. He's following the doctor. The doctor is expert. He said 3 pills 3 times a day. He's following. Thus. Now, if you also know, that's nice, that this is penicillin and requires so many, this is the dosage because of this, this, this. If you have the background, that's very nice. But even if you don't have the understanding, you're following the authority, that's all right. We're following Shastra. We're following the Acharyas. We're following Krishna. Krishna knows. Vedaham Sarvabhutani Vartamana. Krishna knows everything. And we're following Krishna. We can't know everything, but we're following Krishna.
So the answer is that the Shastra says to pay obeisances like this. If I tell to the people, if I don't know.
Anyway, if you want to offer obeisances from the left, you offer from the left. Somehow or other, you offer obeisances. They'll offer this objection. Why from the left? Why not from the right? Why from the right? Why not from the left? All right, then I'm not going to do it. Find some excuse not to offer obeisances. Oh, you people don't know what you're doing. I'm leaving. You offer from this, in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says, what is that? That I'm offering obeisances from the left, from the right, from all sides.
11th chapter.
Yeah, I'm looking. 11th chapter. Let's see. Kasmatcha nite nameran mahatman. Why shouldn't they offer obeisances to you? Arjuna says. Nama purastara taprishtataste namostu te sarvata eva sarva. Many places. The Arjuna says, I'm offering obeisances to you from the right, from the left, from all sides. So that's all right. You can offer obeisances from any side you like, just surrender to Krishna. And the details will work out later. You just surrender. And the main thing is bhakti. If you're offering your obeisances sincerely to the Lord, and my dear Lord, I'm your servant, please engage me, then the Lord, bhavagrahi janardana, he sees the heart, he'll accept. And someone is very careful to offer obeisances exactly this way, that way. But he's thinking that I'll offer obeisances to the Lord, then later I'll become the Lord. Then Krishna knows this person is a rascal. This lady has a question. Is it really possible to wipe out all our sinful reactions in this lifetime? Yes. In Shastra it said that Harinam is so powerful that by chanting Hare Krishna, even once, purely, one can free oneself from more sinful reactions than he's able to commit. From the reactions of more sins than he's able to commit. So in this lifetime, yes. Even freedom from sinful reactions, that's only one of the lesser installments of Krishna consciousness. To become free from sinful reactions, that's preliminary. Yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandvamoha nirmukta vajante mam dridhavata. To become sinless is the beginning, and to engage in pure devotional service is still higher position. Therefore, but to engage in pure devotional service, therefore one has to stop all sinful activities. That's why at initiation we have these vows. No intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, no illicit sex, Because these are the main sinful activities. If we give up these sinful activities, then the others will also go by the wayside. And positively to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Negative, give up the negative and accept the positive. And in this lifetime, one can go back to God. All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.